in the basement of the mud flap house, flapping and poo. And they're underwear, fingers and nose. And poo licks herself, and flap contemplates manly things. He thinks about guns and trucks and stooges three. Men and boys, and that doesn't sound right. He thinks about booze and bacon and power tools. Come with me, let your mask you leave. Oh, won't you come with me and remask you leave?
Aloha, mud babies, pod people, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew, coming at you live. Recorded, but not in the studio basement. I'm actually in the studio cabin of the ship. I'll be docking in Mykonos, Greece tomorrow, and we'll try to have some podcasts for you. Had a good day today. We were in Kumbaya, Turkey, whatever that was. Kudareli, Turkey. Not really, that wasn't the name of it, but Kusadasi, that was it. Kusadasi, Turkey, that's where we were. And I read a story today, and I wrote a little piece. Now, I don't normally actually sit down and write stuff for the podcast, but something hit me in the news today, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to write a little story for my little tiki soldiers, and let them hear. So here we go. The guy that invented the doner kebab has died at the age of 80. And to him I say, thank you. I am a kebab fan. I am a fan of the real doner kebab. And there are very few places in the United States that do doner kebabs right. The best are from small stores or food trucks that inhabit the dark streets of late night London. I had my first taste of the tasty meat treat several years ago on the first trip to UK. It was late, after a gig at the Jongleurs Comedy Club. My main man manager, Ian Wilson, stopped his new, I seem to remember, BMW in front of a small shop occupied by shady-looking fellows with accents that made my American suspicious side sit up and take notice, basically go on high alert. Once inside the eatery, I realized it was packed with inebriated Brits, all ordering the same thing, a doner kebab. I don't know what it was, but I knew it smelled great. But one drunken man slurs out the words, "Put extra chili sauce on there, please." Oh, I like chili sauce. I like anything spicy. Now I'm curious. Ian orders the doner kebab and has them fill the pita pocket with almost everything in the Middle Eastern version of Subway. Lettuce? Yes. Onions? Yes. Tomatoes? Yes. Yogurt sauce? Yes. Chili sauce? Yes. I watched as the foreign man with the food source skillfully carve at the meat logs spinning in front of the fire. Long chunks are caught in what appears to be a dustpan. He turns to me, asks me what I'd like on my kebab. I said, give me everything the man in front of me got on his, but with extra chili sauce. Oh, hell yeah, I love chili sauce. Oh, and it smelled so good. Ian informs me that since these are so messy, we are not eating them in his new car. We will eat these messy lamb lumps back at the house. I place the paper bag filled with the foil-wrapped kebab between my legs to steady the sack for the ride home. Once home, we plop down in front of the TV, and we ate those kebabs like drunken hyenas ripping apart a Disney cartoon lion cub, chewing, laughing, chewing, tearing meat, and making mmm sounds with every awesome bite. I was hooked. I made Ian stop and get me one after almost every show in London. And when I know I have a trip to London planned now, I get excited. I get so excited that I'll be getting to London and I'll be able to get a kebab. And not just any kebab, a real London street doner kebab. And by the way, earlier when I mentioned placing the sack between my legs for the ride, the doner kebabs had released the grease that soaked through
and into the leather seat of the new BMW, a stain that for years gave Ian a reminder of the night he broke my Doner Kebab cherry. And to the guy that invented the Doner Kebab, millions of us say thank you. You, sir, made me, Steve Mudflap McGrew, one of the happiest people in the world. Thanks for turning me on to some good eating. And thanks for turning the world on to something as delicious as your invention. Sail on, my friend. We'll see you up there at that giant Doner Kebab stand in the sky. I'm just saying, thank you, Doner Kebab man. You are not a bad man. You are a kebab man. And man, oh man, was it good. But enough about the kebab. I'm going to have a guest here in a minute. The comic that I'm working with on the ship, the Celebrity Reflection, Matt Sadler will be here, and I'll record the real podcast. So hold on, let me go get Matt. We'll sit down and we'll get this showboat on the road. Be right back.
Aloha.
Sitting here with Matt Sadler.
Yes.
Spell it for me.
So S-A-D-L-E-R.
Okay. And where did you get your start?
I got my start in Austin, Texas. That's where I started stand-up comedy.
Oh.
I had gone to the University of Texas to study film and found out it's way more fun to be in front of the camera than it is to be behind it. So then I just started doing stand-up comedy. I never looked back, Steve.
And where did you start? A club? Yeah. A college room?
No, a club. A stand-up comedy club on 6th Street called the Velveeta Room, a tiny little hole of a place.
Everybody knows the Velveeta Room. Everybody.
Yeah, it's not a destination point. It's this shitty little room on 6th Street. It's like, I liken it to the Soviet Olympic athletes in the 80s. Used to train in oxygen-deprived situations.
So they'd be better
in... So when they got out on the field...
In real places.
Yeah, and that's what the Velveeta is like. If you can get people to listen to a joke there, it'll kill anywhere else.
I've always dreaded rooms like that.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not fun.
We all kind of started in those.
Sure. It's a great place to start, but you don't want to go back there, do you?
No, you never want to go back. And now you're getting more and more of these rooms around the country. We got a one-nighter over at
the
Cheesy Potato.
Hut. Yeah.
And if you'd like to come in, we'd be happy to have you drop in sometime.
You want to do 5 minutes to a totally uninterested audience?
No, not really.
Really?
No.
I don't feel like making that drive.
You're doing great. We started with like 5 people. We had 15 the other night. You ought to come on down. The club's doing great.
Dollar Lone Star night. Oh,
you know exactly those rooms.
And so, oh yeah.
How do people feel like they're cutting their teeth in that? Because it's not really, you're not really doing stand up. You're doing combat.
Yes, you know? That's exactly right. It's a boot heels comedy where you just dig your boot heels in and do your time, but you're not really having fun. Like anytime I go out on the road, and I'm starting to feel really good about myself. You know, and I'm feeling good about my act. I've written some new chunk that I'm happy with. I go back to that room, and then I go, oh, right.
Yeah.
I'm not as good as I think I was, you know.
And I will not say the name of the comic that this happened to several years ago.
Okay.
I was working in Nashville at Zany's.
Yeah.
And one of the, at the time, remember in the 90s, there was the alternative scene?
Yes, I do.
It became the alternative.
Yeah, now it's alt.
Oh, yeah. So this guy was passing through town and was going to do a guest set at Zany's, you know, and... He goes, yeah, I work at this room in L.A. I think it's Largo. I think it was the...
Yeah.
But he goes, yeah, we do this. And, you know, so I go, what do you do? He goes, oh, well, I kind of freeform. And okay. And
that already sounds like a bad setup.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
It was like you just said, you go out on the road, you better know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not quite as forgiving as your buddies.
Yeah.
In the room.
And you don't go up at a club and just wing it.
Yeah. And I've always thought in my head, what is the alternative to comedy? Not comedy. I've never understood the concept of this is alternative comedy.
Yeah.
This what means you have no jokes?
Yeah, you headliners, you go up at these clubs and you tell your jokes and you get all these laughs. That's not what we're about, okay? We're not trying to make it easy on the audience. All right, we want them to be challenged a little bit.
We want them to think.
Yeah, okay. The laughter thing that you guys do, that's very 90s.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just kind of want to throw out concepts.
Right.
And let the people make up their own mind, their own joke.
And you know what happens if they don't laugh? It's because they didn't get it. They don't get me.
They're stupid.
Yeah, I'm not going to pander to them. I'm not going to go down to their level.
If they did not get my Russian Scrabble joke, fuck them. That's what I'm saying.
You know what? I don't need them.
Uh-huh.
I don't need them.
I got a week right. at the Chuckle Hut.
And then I'm out of here. So I don't care if I ever see these people again. Yeah. They can just kiss my ass if they don't understand.
That club owner doesn't get comedy.
Right. Man. Yeah. I don't even know how we got off on that.
I don't know.
But I do want to let's back up and say okay. we're on the ship.
Yes, we are. We're on the Celebrity Reflection.
Yes, because I love that every show that we've done, you go, that is right, Celebrity Reflection crowd.
I know.
How do you say you relate it to them?
I do.
Every way, just the, well, in the whole mess.
I try to do that in every place I'm at, but I try to, you know, like, all right, come on, Little Rock. Come on, Little Rock, Arkansas. Let's hear it for, you know, Little Rock, you know, try to just relate on that level. But yeah, I can't really say, I mean, everybody's from somewhere else here. So the only thing they all have in common is that they're on this fucking boat.
Yeah, well, yeah, I didn't. Now that you put it that way, yeah. I can see where normally where you'd say the city, you have to say, "Come on, Celebrity Reflection ship."
Let's have a big Celebrity Reflection round of applause for your headliner, Mr. Steve Mudflap McGrew. And they're like, "Okay, well, I don't know what that sounds like, but we'll try." Okay. I guess it sounds like this.
All right. Apparently, and they seem to have fun because we just ran into fans.
Sort of, like the clumsiest fan, the really clumsy type of fan. You know?
Yeah, was that? Did they like us?
I don't know.
Did they?
They had so many opinions, and they're trying to get them all out at once.
They were verbally giving us a comment card.
Yes.
Did you notice that?
Yes, that's what was happening.
If they were filling out a comment card to give the cruise director.
They were like, I'll give your presentation a 7. I'll give your content an 8. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Did you like it or not? Okay, let's move on.
But I really thought you were better last night than the first night.
We've seen every show you've done.
Yeah, and I have to say, do you change your material?
Oh, my God. It got so specific. That was the most specific. Do you guys always travel together? That's my favorite question.
You guys?
I mean, in any club, you know, you're at where you're two comics, we never know what's going to happen. We never know who we're going to be working with. Do you guys travel around the country together? Yeah, we do. We travel around the country together.
He's my life partner.
Yeah.
He's my.
It's he throws me the balls that I juggle when I'm on.
I got last night because they were that great couple in the front row that I was having so much fun.
Oh yeah, 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 right next to the aisle.
Yeah,
yeah,
they were great. I had two couples last night come up and go. Were they a plant?
Wow.
Really? Do we, in this day and age, people still think there's
they do
plants?
They don't believe it could be real because it was so funny.
How could that be possible? Yeah. How could you be that quick?
Yeah. Dude, to tell you the truth, I could barely see what you were doing. I could barely see you because we were standing room only last night, and that meant a lot of people who had mobility issues. I mean, I'm not shitting you, crutches and walkers.
You know, you sound
there.
Like a commercial on cable TV when you say mobility issues.
I was trying to be sensitive. I guess.
I understand, but go ahead.
These fucking cripples. They were standing there, and they were like, my legs hurt so bad, but he's so funny, I don't want to leave. I mean, they were really saying that to me. I was standing there watching him. I loved it. It was awesome.
They were a good crowd last night.
They were a great crowd. Good bunch of people.
Now, let's move on to a topic that I handed you this piece of paper about. Hallmark, the card company.
Okay.
They are in trouble for removing the word gay. Okay. From their Christmas sweaters. Now, what is your take? Because now it's going to just say, "Don we now our fun apparel."
I'll tell you, the first thing that comes to mind is I just found out from you today that Hallmark makes sweaters.
Oh, that's how out of the loop.
That's how out of the loop I am. I'm not going anywhere near Hallmark.
I thought you were a married man.
I am a married man.
How do you stay out of the Hallmark store? Don't you typically get? We should go to the Hallmark store and get your aunt a birthday card.
They have all the cards I need at Target. I don't have to go to a card store. You know, I can go somewhere where they have cards and other shit that I need. You know, I don't have to make a specific turn. But they're selling sweaters. And here we are. We're just at the beginning of November. And this shit's already started.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So they're taking off the word gay from the sweaters where it says, "Don, we now wear gay apparel."
That's so gay.
Right. Yeah. I think it's pretty fucking silly. But, you know... there's a lot of people who might buy a sweater that would be deterred by the word gay, especially those that are shopping at a Hallmark store, I think.
Or those that might be so ignorant and unaware of the vocabulary that has been used for centuries.
That it has nothing to do with homosexual when that song was written. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It was the gay times, the...
Yeah, the gay 90s.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's the 1890s. Yeah.
Because the other 1990s was a totally different gay 90s.
Yeah, it was. But and the homosexual community is pissed off about it?
Everybody is.
Everybody's pissed off about it.
Everybody, according to this article.
Christmas traditionalists are angry, and the gay people are angry.
Right.
So this was like the worst move they could have done.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there's people, according to this article, that have been Hallmark enthusiasts, have now said that they will never shop at Hallmark again because they're tearing down what tradition.
Sure. Well, and they are. They've changed other things, too. It's now Rudolph the Reindeer Who Has Rosacea.
Oh, the really?
Yeah.
That's,
Yeah, because red-nosed implies,
he might be a drunk.
Alcoholism, or yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. And they don't want to really have that stigma associated with Rudolph, so.
Rosacea?
Yeah, it's a ruddy face thing. I don't know.
Do you ever look at people and try to figure out what skin condition
they
have?
Yeah, I have. I have.
Especially on the cruise ships.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff on the cruise ship. And I'll tell you something else that's on the cruise ship that's bothering me. And maybe it's a European thing, but you walk past the pool and there's a lot of dudes who don't have a problem with wearing the Speedo bikinis.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they don't have a problem with that. And I think the rule should be, here's the rule about those. If you are on the Olympic diving team, you can wear that. Otherwise, and not even an alternate, you better be on the team.
You better be Kevin Sorbo in his heyday.
Yeah. To wear that. And their dudes that are wearing that are not Kevin Sorbo.
No.
No. They're eating a lot of sorbet, but they're not Kevin Sorbo.
It's almost like they're hiding it. They're the stomach is trying
to burst forth.
Don't peek out from under me. Yeah, it's kind of shocking.
Yeah, and it puts me off my ice cream.
I was noticing the back of bald heads on the elevator. Because you get, as we did a while ago, you get forced to the back, and so you get those heads.
Yeah.
And I always wonder, do guys not realize that giant scabby thing on the top of their head probably ought to be checked?
And most of them are married. Shouldn't their wife say something?
Like, that dark bloody spot on your bald spot?
Just rub some lotion on it or something. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah. Have you seen that kind of stuff every once in a while?
Like, oh, yeah.
Does not anybody worry about you? Because that looks like skin cancer to me.
Yes!
And not just a little. Like, it's eating part of your head.
But there's so many other things that, like, there seem to be a lot of people on this boat who've just given up. You know, whatever their appearance is, they've given up. I mean, the amount of ear hair. You know, where they just...
I don't know what to get Grandpa for Christmas. How about a trimmer?
You know?
That's what I don't even know your grandpa well, but I'm thinking, Granddad might
he
like
would
a...
probably open it, though, and be like, I don't know what this is.
What is this?
I don't know what I would do with this. Just take it back. Get your money back. You're not going to waste your money on this sort of thing.
I don't need that.
Just give it up. I mean, not even a
comb-over
anymore.
That's why they
anymore.
Can't hear. All these old people are like, what?
Well, oh, God.
It's just, it's the beaver dam of hair in the ear canal.
Yeah. And like, you know, like we said, the people we met that just wanted to give us their opinion on everything, they just don't give a shit about anything. They'll just say whatever the hell they want. And I'm on this trivia team in the mornings, and it's all old people, and it's couples who fight, like, right in front of me. Like, not kidding around, oh, you're being sick, you know, like, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to,
well
don't say the
loud.
Answer out loud. Don't say the answer out loud, just write it down. You don't tell me what to do. And they're screaming at each other, and I'm like, this is so awkward and uncomfortable. I don't know what to say.
Well, I like how they...
I hate it when mommy and daddy fight.
I like how it escalates so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Just like...
What did you see the other day?
Oh, it was the thing about... did you put... It was something about sugar in the coffee. It was something about... Did you put sugar in your... What? I said, did you put sugar in your coffee? Look, you don't have to yell at me. Well, you can't hear a goddamn thing anymore. Well, I'm about tired of you yelling... And it all started with some simple as
sugar
did
in the
you
coffee.
Already put sugar in your coffee?
Which really, you could just taste it.
Yeah.
And then decide what you wanted to do with it. It didn't really need to turn into a fight like
but
that.
But you see that all over this ship. I've seen elevator fights now. Harold, that one is going up! What? That's going up! We want to go down!
It's so fucking awkward.
Like, what? Just, what? Why are you yelling?
Yeah.
Just, and how? I never want to get so confused that I don't understand an elevator symbol. You know?
The arrow, you mean?
The arrow that points up or down?
The one that lights up and dings?
Yes. Harold, that's up! Oh, okay.
Like, my wife and I bicker, but we try not to do it in front of anyone else. When we're in the privacy of our own home, we will have arguments that, you know, people do in relationships. But in public, you don't do it where you're making other people visibly uncomfortable.
Well, I can almost see how this could escalate into, you know, murder.
Yeah!
You know?
Easily. Yeah.
Just
like somebody's body's going over the boat, you know. And they're going to float up on the Rock of Gibraltar.
Well, which we just passed. We just passed the Rock of Gibraltar.
I know, it's hard to say it.
Rock of Gibraltar.
Hey, yo, look at you!
You have to say it very quickly
just
to get it out right.
Out, yeah, just shoot
Rock
it out
of Gibraltar!
Gibraltar!
But apparently everybody ran to one side of the ship. Because they're like, if you look off the right side... Well, they didn't run.
No, they
not
didn't run.
They didn't run. They shuffled quickly. They
got on their rascal and went in and just opened it up. Have you got banged in the shins yet?
By one of the rascals?
Yes.
No, not yet.
They have no compunction about that. They're like, get out of the way! They don't even honk or anything. Just bam!
Well, I think one of the things that I've noticed is, and I've been around much older people all my life.
Sure.
Grandparents and things like that.
Yeah.
But there seems to be a new older generation that has a sense of entitlement because they're old.
Uh-huh.
Like, you should just step out of my way.
Yeah.
You should... I was getting on the elevator. I know, but I was actually in front of you. You blocked me to get on.
And have you noticed how much that's happening? Like, you'll be on an elevator. That's the rule. Is if you're getting on an elevator, first you stand out of the way to make sure anybody getting off of the elevator has a clear path. These people just charge right on.
Yeah.
They just charge right on. They're like, well, I'm sorry, I'm trying to get off the... Well, I'm trying to get on the elevator. Well, we're at an impasse then, because nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to ride with you wherever you're going.
I actually said to somebody the other day, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Oh. Just out of nowhere. Like,
yeah.
I held the door. I realized they were coming, so I held the door, and they just walked right past me. And I went, you're welcome. Because I was raised that everything is polite.
Yes. Like, thank you. Yes, sir. No, sir.
Yeah.
And what I found myself, my little passive-aggressive thing that I say to people is things like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get in your way like that. Like, clearly you're in my way. But I'm going to pretend like I'm being polite. I did not mean to get in your way.
I am so sorry.
So sorry about that. The way you were backing up right into me with your coffee.
Son of a bitch. But other than that, we've had a great time.
It really is a great time.
You know, I don't want to sound like we're bad-mouthed and are not enjoying ourselves. The shows have been great. We're just comics that notice.
We got to make fun of everything around us.
Yeah. Like, people go, where do you get your material?
Yeah.
From watching you.
Everything you're doing. I just wrote 10 minutes on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do feel like a jerk for being here, because we've been here about 2.5 weeks now. Yeah, or about that.
You know,
a little over 2 weeks. And my wife and I just bought a house. She's at home, like, literally knocking down walls and painting and moving and doing all the stuff that I should really be doing. And I'm drunk on a boat in the Mediterranean.
La, la, la.
I know. And we're calling each other and on Skype, and she's like, oh, you know, what's going on? And I'm like, well, they ran out of chocolate ice cream again. And she's like, you know you're a dick, right? I'm like, yeah, I know, but...
I'm trying to decide where to put knickknacks, and you're fighting about ice cream.
No, she's, like, doing drywall and shit. I mean,
is she really?
Oh, yes. She's doing major projects that make me look like a girl.
So that's why you took this gig.
No.
That'd be the week we have to move. Oh, okay, I'll take it.
I took the gig before I knew we were going to move that week. We closed on the house way faster than I thought it was going
to
happen.
And she didn't want you to cancel? Like, at some point?
No.
Why don't you ask him if you can move that? Because I really need you to help with the drywall.
Yeah, I should have been there. I wasn't there for the move or the drywall or the painting or anything.
This could be the first step toward divorce.
It could. Easily. I'm going to have to kiss a lot of ass.
You know, when you get back, how this keeps would be brought up over and over. Well, you weren't even here to help. Well, what do you know?
Yeah,
you didn't even set it up.
I know. I mean, honey, you know, I was thinking about you. I brought you these playing cards that they gave me on the ship, so those are for you. Here you go. Like, I didn't buy the extravagant gifts that I probably should have.
You're going to ask for something? Like, where is the serving spoon? Well, you would know if you were here to help me set up the kitchen.
That argument is going to happen for the next year. At least once a day. That exact argument.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm
ready for
it. It's just enough to... You're going to give just enough of a drop to kick it off.
Yeah.
You know?
And I will have to shut up immediately.
Yeah. Hey, where's the contact solution? Well, you would know if you would have been here to help.
Yep. I will hear that. And there's not shit I can say about it either. I have to go, yes, honey, you're right. I should have been here. That's my fault.
Uh-huh.
That's how I've been managed to stay married for 11 years.
Well, how did you guys decide which side of the bed? Because every couple has, you pick and you stick,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
How did you, as a couple, How did y'all decide?
Well, I do talk about this in my act.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Once we got married, like, I didn't know, there's things you're supposed to worry about when you're married that I didn't know, and one of the big things for us is there are murderers who are out to get us, apparently, which I didn't know about, but if we leave a movie theater, even in broad daylight, we have to run to the car before the murderers can get us, and the murderers have dictated which side of the bed I sleep on, because I sleep on the side of the bed that's closest to the window, so that when the murderers come in the window, while they're busy killing me, she can escape.
Oh, okay, all right, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I said, honey, what if we get smart murders and figure out a way to come in the door? And she goes, you better get them. And I got to get them. And
what are you going to get them with?
I don't know.
Do you have a tool or an object by the bed, a golf club, a baseball bat,
a gun? I have a bread maker.
You have a bread maker?
Yeah, a bread maker machine. I'll just clock them in the head with that.
This is by the bed?
Yeah. It's the closest thing.
You must really love bread.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I like to wake up.
Smell a fresh bread in the morning. That's really not a bad idea.
Delightful.
If you hooked a bread maker to like an alarm clock timer.
Put all the yeast and
had it to go, and at 6 o'clock.
Just starts baking.
And then your alarm goes off, and you're like, oh.
Pumpernickel.
That's kind of a cool idea, really, when you think about it.
Plus, if you were a burglar, and you suddenly saw a homeowner coming at you with a bread maker, you would not know how to deflect.
This bastard's crazy!
You would not have like a golf club or a gun, you know what to do. But a bread maker, you're like, what the... I have no defense for that.
What would be the defense for a... I guess it'd be something like, hey, don't hit me with a bread maker.
Yeah, or if you happen to have some cheese on you, you can deflect it with... I don't know.
I do like your joke about the bread maker.
Oh, right? Yeah, it's true. We didn't have, actually, her mother got us that. We did not ask for a bread maker. She's like, oh, you got to have a bread maker. You can make bread.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, really?
That's what I'm going to do. I have one of those.
Okay, how long have you had it?
Probably 10, 15 years.
Okay, how many times have you used it?
Maybe 4 or 5.
Okay, yeah. It's one of those worthless appliances. It's one of those, like, when you move, that's when you take stock of everything you own.
Uh-huh.
And it's some, you know, you got those weird appliances, like an iced tea maker. Like an iced tea making machine. Iced tea's pretty easy to make without a machine.
Yeah, you put tea and ice in a cup.
Yeah, or, you know, you put it in a jar.
Or you put it
and
in
let it, yeah.
Sun tea, as we do in the South.
Sure.
You put a bunch of bags in a jar
sugar
and set it
in there
outside.
And set it outside in the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need a machine for that. When you're moving, you're like, what the fuck are we doing with a tea maker?
Yeah, we should pack that up. Carefully and take that with us.
Or just keep it by the bed for burglars.
My son moved recently. And I was really surprised what he was throwing out, like stuff that was going out.
Okay, you said you should keep this.
I did. Yeah. Like, why are you throwing out? Yeah, doesn't that roaster still work? Yeah, but I don't want it. What? It still works though. You're just gonna put it out by the trash? Yeah, I don't. I was almost freaky a little bit. Like, well, it's not like it doesn't work. Why don't you take it to Goodwill or I don't want to mess with it.
Yeah.
I don't have that in me that I could just go, I am tired of looking at this, I will set it out in the trash.
See, my wife, that's the exact opposite of me and my wife, because my wife is a total pack rat, and I'm, you know, she goes to work, I'm like, okay, I'm packing today. I'm packing our stuff because we're going to be moving soon. She'll come back, half of it, gone to Goodwill, and I know she's not going to notice it. If she sees me taking it out, she'll be like, hey! I was planning on using that at some point in the future. I'm like, no, you're not.
But don't you have, like, certain things, like, certain memories attached to things that you're throwing out in some way or another?
Yeah, I do. The memories are, why the fuck did we buy this 5 years ago? Remember when we bought this? That's the memory associated with it. Like, we never should have bought this. I remember when we bought it, I tried to talk you out of it,
yeah.
But you had to have it.
I sort of discussed this on an earlier podcast one day, was I was in my studio basement, and I was looking around. I'm not a pack rat.
Okay.
My girlfriend says I'm a hoarder, but I really believe that I'm more of a, like, a collector. Like,
okay.
You know, like, I just don't throw out a lot of stuff, but I go, like, I've got 4 boom boxes. Those are, like 6 digital clocks that still work. But
really?
Yeah. I have all this down in the basement.
But do you use them for anything?
No.
Okay.
But they're there in case, you know, do I need one? If something breaks, there's down there. Maybe one day I'll sell them on eBay. It's that
right.
Kind of, you know, there's always collectors that are, oh, is that an original GE from 82? That's a cube clock. They don't, you know what I mean?
Wait a minute. That's not a real thing. There's no collectors that go, is that an 82 GE alarm clock?
I'm just making shit up. But you know what I'm saying. People get on eBay and they're like, oh my God, I had one of those.
Right.
I'd love to have that again.
Yeah.
So, but I'm looking at all the stuff in the basement, And then it dawned on me how much stuff there is in the house, just in general. You start looking at that. Did you think about upstairs? Did you think about closets? Did you think about, now, think about everything in your house for a second. You bought that. Everything that's in your house, you have spent money on.
Okay.
Think of how much money you would have if you still had the money that you spent on stuff.
Yeah, but that's just not what it's worth today.
Stuff.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
You see what I'm saying?
I see exactly
As you look around, you go, there's a couple of lamps I don't even use anymore.
Never
I wish I had that $200
that
back.
Yeah.
There's, you know.
Well, and here's the other thing.
Because everything in your house cost money. It didn't just
when
appear.
When it was new, yeah.
When it was new. Mm-hmm. There was a plate or a collector's salt and pepper shaker, or we needed a serving tray for one party, and you needed a... All that stuff just becomes money spent.
Yeah. And if you bought a DVD player when they first came out, they cost a lot of money. And if you still have that DVD player, I mean, you can get a DVD player for like $30 now.
Yeah.
You know, nobody even has them anymore.
Yeah. But I paid $800 for
exactly. mine. Exactly. You're like, oh, I wish I'd waited a year. I could have paid $600, you know, and saved $200 and had a bunch of beer money. But the problem is, my wife and I, a lot of what she has, she brought into the relationship. And one of those, well, several of those things are paintings that her ex-boyfriend did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No. These are airbrush paintings.
Uh-huh.
Like, really shitty.
You mean like in the mall t-shirt?
Yes, yes. That's exactly what I'm talking about. They're really shitty college-age guy who's just bought himself an airbrush set, and he, like, did a topless picture of her in airbrush. And I'm like, all right, we've got to throw this out. She's like, no. He painted that. It's me.
It's me.
And I look really good in that picture.
I kind of, I liked myself in that.
Look at my figure. Look at my waist. And this, I'm like, it's not.
And it reminds you, doesn't it remind you that somebody else was there before you?
That's exactly what it reminds me of. But, you know, how many times am I going to have that fight? And I'm going to lose it every damn time.
Yeah. So. No, I could relate to your pain because I had an ex-girlfriend that had a very expensive painting. It was done by a friend that eventually became an artist in New York. This stuff is hanging in the gallery.
Okay. And so there's an argument there.
There's an argument saying, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's all right. But every time I look at it, I go, oh, that's your ex.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's your ex. Mm-hmm. You
know? Wait, I hope he gets famous soon so we can sell this.
And I'll
have the money.
We'll have an excuse to get rid of it.
Thing on my wall, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Do you ever have things that you just think you can never get rid of yourself, though? I mean, if this is painting as hers, like, I can't get rid of that. Do you have stuff the same way?
Yes, but, I mean, and really, if my house burst into flames, I'm grabbing my wife, I'm grabbing my dog, and I'm grabbing my 1960 New York Yankees team signed baseball, which I will never sell. It's worth a good amount of money. I'll never sell it. You know, that's one of those things that I will die with.
How did you acquire this ball?
It was given to me when I was working as a bartender. There was a guy who, he and I were both huge New York Yankees fans. We used to talk about the Yankees. And when he died, I didn't even know about this, but I went to the funeral, and then the person who was doling out his estate or whatever said he wanted you to have this, and he gave me, and I didn't even know he had it. He never even told me about it, and he's just like, you know, he had this team signed baseball. He wanted you to have it, and I just was like, oh my god,
that's very cool.
It's incredibly cool, but yeah, I mean, that's more sentimental value than anything else. There's not really anything I can't part with. I mean, really, like if I haven't touched it in a year, I'm not going to use it.
You sound like one of those people on TV. Like, if you have not used this in a year, you should. Yeah, you know, 6 months.
What TV program is
that?
Oh,
there's a lot of these shows
really?
On HGTV where that's the standard of like when you need to clean, when you clean house or clutter, or when you it's time to change things out.
Yeah, or like the mattress every 8 years.
Yeah,
like, really, I've had mine a little longer than that.
Right,
it still works.
Right,
it's still...
I think I've had my mattress seriously close to 20 years.
Yeah.
And I just buy pads. I buy thick pads.
Yep.
I do
pillow tops.
I do a pillow. I do a foam. The foam mattress, and then I do a pillow top.
Uh-huh.
So my mattress itself, it never. I keep changing out pieces, but the mattress is just a mattress.
Theoretically, you should never have to change that mattress. If you keep changing what's on top of the mattress is still going to be a mattress. You
but
know.
Doesn't though? I guess the springs give out or something.
No.
Isn't that what they say?
Well,
the whole.
But I don't know, the springs, there hasn't been springs on a mattress in a while, have there?
I don't even know.
Yeah, I look like a memory. I've got a high-definition mattress.
You have a memory foam?
I don't know.
Because it remembers everybody you poked on it?
it never forgets.
Now, you were saying...
Yes, sir?
The other day we were talking that you and your wife got together, like, immediately after meeting.
Yes. We met... The club I told you about, the Velveeta Room, she was the door girl there.
Uh-huh.
She would stand up front and, you know, entice people into coming in to see the live comedy. And she and I became friends, and we knew each other for a long time, and we watched each other go through relationships or whatever. And then we decided, okay, we finally came around, like, why haven't we dated? We should have dated a long time ago. And we dated, and she's going to kill me. We slept together pretty quickly after our first date.
Very quickly, uh-huh.
And then I just kind of didn't leave. I just kind of, you know, wound up living there.
Stage four clinger.
Yeah.
Stage four clinger.
Yeah, but that was my thing. If I liked you enough in the 90s, if I liked you enough to sleep with you, I'm moving in. I'm going to live with you.
You were telling me that within a week.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you met within a week, y'all just been together. That's
yeah.
It.
Yeah. Ever since, yeah. And it's awesome.
And you went and got your stuff and moved into her?
I did.
Did you? What did you bring besides clothes?
Very little. That's a great question.
I kind of see you as one of those guys with like a lamp and a bag
something. Yeah.
I got my clock and a bag.
I look like Steve Martin and the Jerk.
Right. That's sort of the
paddle game.
When you were telling me that, I kind of figured like that. I got my stuff.
Yeah. I'm like,
I got my six objects I'd like to move in.
Exactly. And it wasn't very much. It was really just a suitcase, and it was whatever I could fit in my car, because I was a road comic at the time. I had a two-seater Honda del Sol, and that's what I traveled around the country in, and I had most of my shit in the car. So it was a really easy transition, like, yeah, I'm going to live here now. Heard of roommates, where I was like, roommates, by the way, I live here now, too. So I hope you're cool with that.
And how long before the roommates went, I can't take him, I'm leaving.
Well, it was when the lease ran out, but it was after about 6 months, and I'm actually really good with that, because I would cook and clean, you know, everybody would eat, they would get home from work, they'd be like, hey, I made dinner for everybody, you know, they're like, oh, it's pretty nice having him around.
Like Matt.
And he pays rent, so our rent's
come and knock on our door.
Exactly. Had to tell Mr. Furley I was gay, so he wouldn't, he'd be cool with it.
Yeah. Who's the guy you've got? No, don't worry about it. He doesn't.
And that was such a weird thing, just a one-off, but Three's Company, Jack Tripper's impression of a gay person.
Uh-huh.
Was really, he would just like put his fists out and be like, and I was like, oh, okay, that's what a gay person is. That's what I watched when I was a kid. I was like, that's what homosexual people do.
They put their fists out?
They just go like, yeah.
Like, I'm confused by everything.
Yeah. I was like, okay, that's what gay people are. But yeah, no, and then we dated for a long, we lived together, I should say, for a long time, and her family's really, really Catholic, so her parents were really, really pissed. But I think 6 years after we got together, we finally got married.
6 years.
6 years of living together, and I finally ran out of excuses, and we got married.
How did you propose?
In the most unromantic way possible. Like, anytime she sees on TV one of these guys that does the all-out, going, you know, hires a marching band and, you know, does a giant sign of airplane with a banner behind it and all that shit, she starts crying because she knows how shitty her proposal was. Like, we were literally, we were showering together,
uh-huh.
And I was like, hey, do you think we should get married? I mean, you know, like, I didn't have a ring or anything. I was like, do you think that's something we should do? She's like, yeah, we probably should. You know, we've been together for 6 years, and my parents are starting to get pissed off. And so she saw a ring, and it was a buddy of mine who used to go, oh, this is gross. He used to go to estate sales.
Uh-huh.
Like, when somebody would die, they would sell all their shit, right? And he came in one day, and he had this ring, and it was a really awesome ring, and she saw the ring, and she's like, oh, my God. And he gave me the, he's like, I'll give you the family price on it. And he gave me this ring for, like, about a fifth of what it was worth. And he could have got a lot more for it, but he owed me a favor. And so I bought this ring off him. And
she's not hearing this for the first time.
No, she was there for the whole thing. And I was at work, and he came in, delivered the ring. I gave him the cash, and I had the ring. And I went over to her, and I was like, hey, that ring you wanted, here it is. And I just handed it to her, and she goes, oh, and she starts, like, I didn't get down on one knee, I didn't even ask her, really, I didn't even say, will you marry me, I just kind of went, so there's that ring, and she, I know.
Wow.
I know, and she just burst into tears, she's crying, and I look, and I just shrugged, that's all I did, she looked at me, and she, with tears in her eyes, and I just went, mm.
You're Mr. Romance.
Well, I really am, but just, I wasn't at the time, because I had a lot of other things I was thinking about, and I was like, oh, she wants this ring, I should give it to her, and there's the ring, and now, oh, wait, we're engaged now.
And how long was the engagement?
Yeesh, not long, honestly. It was probably about, it was less than a year.
How long do you think people should be engaged?
Well, here's what I think. And I really believe this, is that planning and executing a wedding is such an ordeal, and it's so reflective of your personalities and how you interact with each other, that I think that's one of the reasons people do have a wedding and get married when they get married, is because if you can survive that entire thing,
the tsunami known as the wedding.
Yes. And, you know, assign, you know, who's going to pick out the flowers? Are you going to show enough interest to pretend like you're, you know, not pretend like, you know, but...
No, I know.
You know?
I heard the truth.
I mean, there are details that you don't care about, but you want her to think that you do, so, you know, you feign interest.
Look, you don't care. Be honest. You don't care. There is not magazines for men called Men's Bride Magazine. There is not Men's Wedding Magazine. There is not one... There's not even one magazine about...
And you learn that quickly.
Your day for men.
You learn that quickly. And I thought, you know what? The one thing she'll let me have is the tuxedo I want, which is I wanted, you know, the black pants with the white James Bond dinner jacket thing. She's like, no, you're not wearing that. And I was like, I can't even pick up my own tuxedo. No, you're not wearing that.
You should have, if you wanted to wear that, you should have done that in high school at the prom.
Exactly. Doesn't match the flowers, doesn't match my dress. We're not doing that. No, that's not
happening. I don't care, Mr. Dumb and Dumber, you're not getting a top hat and purple suit and stick.
But honey, no! The only thing...
Let's make a mockery of it. Come on. Please.
The only thing I got was that we got to serve a steamship round. You know what that is?
No.
That is the upside down thigh of a cow.
Uh-huh.
And you have a guy with white gloves, and he cuts the meat and serves it to you. And it was awesome. It was really good.
Is it off like a crank spigot thing?
No. He just cuts it. You know, he can spin it around and he just cuts it with a knife.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've never seen that, I don't think.
It's awesome. It's very impressive looking. I mean, it's on the bone. Just an upside down thigh of a calf. A cow, rather. Yeah.
Is it kind of like what they would do at the places that cut
the gyros?
Gyros?
It looks kind of like that, yeah. It looks kind of like that, but much more steaky.
Mm.
Much more steaky, yeah. That was my one victory in the entire wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why guys just don't go plan it and let me know what time to be there.
Because yeah, you have to pretend like it's the two of you planning.
And it's not
together.
Even her wedding. Really, I've thought about this. Well, I think a lot of times it's her mother's wedding.
There's that.
It's the wedding mom didn't get, so I'm going to give you the best wedding ever.
There's a lot of that to it, too.
Did you have some of that near her, you think? Or?
The weird thing is, you know, that traditionally... like, the bride's parents are supposed to pay for the wedding. Well, her parents weren't really in a position to do that, so...
I don't care. What are the rules? The rules are rules for a reason. The bride's parents, we, like, hawked some shit. Your parents are supposed to...
Yeah, I know. It didn't work out that way. And to be honest, we had a really awesome wedding on the cheap because we were in the, you know, service industry. We were in the bar business, so we knew a lot of people in bars and restaurants and everything else. We got a lot of our stuff for really, really cheap.
We could have the rehearsal dinner here, kind of deal. And then we could have the...
Yeah, yeah. And the groom's parents are supposed to pay for the rehearsal dinner, and then the bride's parents pay for the wedding, and I think the groom's parents pay for the... My parents just pay for everything. So...
So your parents are rich.
No. They did what you just said, well, going to Hawk. Kids got to have a wedding.
They were just so happy that you were finally...
Yes, there was that. And then they were...
Matt's not gay?
Yeah. Matt's not functionally illiterate? Yeah. No, they were just like, okay, now we're going to sit back and enjoy the grandkids. They were like, oh, about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
As a man, you don't want to send down your seed to build a legacy?
No, I don't. At all.
Really?
I don't like children.
But they're different when it's yours.
I'm told that, but no. We're just really... You know, I'm on the road all the time, and it wouldn't be fair to her to be pregnant or, you know, having a baby, you know, and me being gone all the time. That's not fair. I'd rather just be gone all the time so she can put a drywall and paint.
What is... fair? What is this whole...
I don't know.
This whole new thing of fair. Life's not fair. If you lived and everything is not fair, just go, there's your seed.
Yeah.
Have my child. I'll be back from the cruise.
Yeah. And how many times have you been married?
More than you.
Okay. Okay, I'm just asking a question. That's
well, all. That's a reason this is called Remasculate.
Okay.
We're trying to bring manliness back to the world.
I didn't know that was the goal of the podcast.
Yeah, that is the entire goal. That's how this whole thing got started. Was another friend of mine, Jeremy, who's a radio producer.
Uh-huh.
We were talking one day because he really is just so feminized by his wife.
Okay.
You know, just the decisions, and this is what we're doing,
right.
And why don't you wear that tonight?
Right.
And when, he knows I'm joking.
Gotcha.
But this is, that's kind of what got the whole thing started.
But that was the impetus for the whole thing.
Guys just need to come. What happened to the,
Right.
You know, your father's sitting down and reading the paper. Leave him alone. Mm, you remember that kind
I
of
do.
Thing? Men were, it was our house.
Yeah.
And now we're at the point where if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
You know, I gotta suck up to you or you're gonna make my life miserable?
Yeah. It's really not like that with us. I mean, we really do. I do think one of the keys to a successful marriage is that you have to make each other laugh. You know, and we're really good at that. She's much funnier than I am. Like, she'll go to work and I'll, you know, stay in the house and I'm working on a new bit. I'm trying to, you know, hammer it out or whatever. She'll come home and I'll go, honey, I wrote this thing. You're gonna love it. Here you go. And I'll give it to her and she'll go, yeah, it's got some potential, maybe, but maybe work on it a little bit, right? Then we'll be driving, and then I'll go, you don't know anything about comedy. You have no idea what you're talking about. Let me show you how comedy works, and I'll go up and do the bit, and it'll fall flat. Just nothing. And she doesn't do that, I'll told you so, but, you know, whatever. So then we'll be driving, and I'll say something. I'll just say something. Just something occurs to me, and she goes, okay, now that's funny. Now that's what you need to do on stage. And I'll be like, honey, again, you don't know about comedy. You don't know what you're talking about.
Because it's only funny now because it was the situation and where we are. And,
well, that's what I thought. And then I'll go up on stage with it, and sure enough, it's funny. And I'm like, God damn it, she's right. She's a great barometer for comedy. She's a great sounding board. So.
Yeah. I think a lot of times anything that you think is funny is funny.
Yeah. A lot of times it is.
Because I hear people, well, it's probably just funny to you. No.
Yeah.
If I've made myself chuckle, I probably should at least try it.
Yeah. And or at least throw it up on stage and start playing with it. You know, because you can a lot of times find the funny when you're up there with the raw idea.
That's how I've always tried to work.
Sure.
Is, to me, sitting down with a piece of paper is like you're just a joke writer.
Mm.
Like, you know what I mean? I will write things. Ideas come and you jot them down. But a lot of times you get that idea, like you said, a funny idea. And then you walk on stage and when your brain is in this mode of comedy, the punchline just sort of physically jumps out of you.
Well, and you
and
can
you're
also,
like, that's where I wanted it to go.
Sure, sure, sure. And you can also feel it. You know, like a lot of comics are, you know, into percussion, you know, because it's a timing thing.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times when, you know, I don't watch you as much as I listen to you when you're doing comedy, you know, because I listen for the beats and I listen for the timing and the flow and that sort of thing. And that's, you know, when you can hear where the audience is responding, then you're like, okay, this is where the build is. That's the part they like. That's the part that should go before that. You know, when I do this bit again,
right.
You start finding that on stage. That's my favorite, you know, part of comedy is when you start writing on stage.
Right.
That's more fun. You know,
right.
You're just playing.
And sometimes it's not even the joke itself as much as it is the placement of when you finally, that's where it needed to follow.
Yeah.
You know, I've tried this joke a couple times, but it actually works. At this point.
Right,
in the,
right off that other joke
that
segues into that joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
I like
just
that.
Kind of, you feel the moment of like, fire!
Right,
you know?
Right. And then sometimes I'll be at home in bed and I'll think of this thing and I'll be like, oh my God, that's the funniest thing. I gotta write that down. And I'll write down like two words and I think that's gonna be enough
to
remember
trigger.
And it never is, you know, and I'll wake up the next day and the wife's like, why is there a piece of paper next to the bed that says dog jizz? And I'm like, are we out of it? I don't know.
I have no idea
what that means. I'm sure I had an idea for that, but I have no memory of that at all.
I've done that exact same thing. Just do two or three words and the next day you look at it and you're like, green series potato. Green series potato.
Oh, man.
I don't even know what I was thinking that would mean something to me.
And it's worse when you're drinking. Because, like, I'll be drinking with friends and I'll say something and they're like, oh, my God, that's hilarious. That's funny. I'm like, hold on, everybody shut up. I got to write this down. And, of course, it won't make any sense. I'll have no idea. And I'll ask them the next time, I'm like, what the fuck did I say that was so funny? And they're like, I don't know, man, but you were... It was great, whatever it was.
I sort of just did that with Twitter.
Oh, yeah?
Last night. Because I was watching TV. And, you know, a lot of times with Twitter, you think, is that a good tweet?
Yeah.
You know, maybe, you know, I should tweet, but I don't know if it's a good... So somebody said something on TV about this guy being, you know, creepy. It's something, and it spurred, And I had just seen a commercial earlier for the new Partly Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2.
Uh-huh.
I had just, so in my head, I go, creepy. You know to be creepy? Is having sex in the theater while Partly Cloudy with Meatballs 2.
So, is that what you tweeted?
Yes. I tweeted, she wanted to have creepy sex. And what would be creepier than having sex in the front row of Partly Cloudy with Chance of Meatballs 2 under the big popcorn buckets? So I look at the Twitter, and my girlfriend just wrote, huh?
Yeah.
Huh? So I, you know, when you can't, don't know what huh is too, so you have to click back to look at your own conversation. And I'm like, oh, I said huh too. I don't even know what I was trying to say in this tweet.
And see, and I, whenever I do that, I try to act casual about it. Like, I'm going to casually throw out this hilarious thing. But invariably, I'll write it, and then before I hit post, I'm like, this isn't worded right. And I'll go back, and I'll rewrite it for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll try to get the right wording on it.
And at this point, it's not even, now it's not.
I know. And then try to make it look casual when I post it. And another thing I've started doing just to fuck with people, because I, you know, like you, like Facebook friends, how many do you have?
5,000.
5,000, yeah. The limit. Okay. Yeah. How many of those people do you know?
Probably less than 1,000.
Okay. Yeah. Because I've got like 2,500. I know less than 300, probably, of all those people. So I've started making up children on my Facebook.
Like, my child Ethan did this kind of thing?
I have two kids, Caitlin and Hunter.
Uh-huh.
Caitlin is 8.
Uh-huh. Hunter, but you hate kids.
I hate kids.
Okay.
Caitlin is 8, Hunter is 4.
Uh-huh.
And I'll just, because I have so many friends that think their kids are just amazing and just so fascinating that they can't stop posting. Like, I have a friend, I'm not going to tell you who he is, but he and his wife, every time their kid fucking falls asleep, I'm not shitting you, they take a picture and post it to Facebook. And I'm like, all right, hold on.
Isn't this angel beautiful?
Hold on. He fell asleep. That's the easiest fucking thing in the world to do. Everybody does it every goddamn day.
It's not something he learned. It's something.
And so I just got a little fed up and I started making shit up. And I'm just like, you know, I'll make up these things that the kids have done. And like 10% of the people will be like, Matt, quit fucking around. You're an idiot. Another 50 will be like, oh, they're angels. They're gifts from God. They do these silly things. They color on the walls. Yeah, but our lives would be empty without them. And I'm like, all right. I don't know you. I know that I don't know you because you believe that I have two kids.
Do you have pictures of your fake kids? Did you just randomly steal some pictures?
I have some pictures off the internet that I've plugged in.
Uh-huh.
And recently, just... yeah. I do this. Recently, just to totally blow everybody's mind, I found... what do you call it when you take a picture of the fetus?
The ultrasound.
Yes, I found an ultrasound online of twins.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, all right, here we go. And I go, Becca's pregnant. Everybody, we've got twins. And I said we were going to name the kids. It was a boy and a girl. We're going to name them. The girl's going to be Vladimir. And the boy's going to be Horowitz, after my favorite composer. So, hey, everybody, you know, in about 6 months, hey, it's all going to be. And everybody, same thing. 10% of the people are like, God damn it. You are just fucking around again, aren't you?
But you still got the people go, that is wonderful.
All the people going,
blessing from God.
It is a blessing from God.
The names are a little strange, but I understand.
No. Nobody even did that. They're like, no, those sound like beautiful names. Those sound like beautiful names, and they're going to be beautiful children, and you're a beautiful person, and your wife is beautiful, and you're going to have a huge, beautiful family. Just to see, just to get a response out of people. I get bored.
That's pretty funny,
yeah.
Actually.
It's pretty funny. Yeah.
But you know, I think we have to make people understand that not everything we post is real.
No. No, I agree with you completely.
Because I think everybody takes it as real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when the huh from my girlfriend, seriously, at some point, she probably is going, what?
Yeah.
What? Why do you want people to think we had sex in a theater? I don't. I'm not. I'm trying to... Some of this crap I just pull out of my
just to
ass.
Challenge people.
Yeah.
Just to see how they'll react.
Yeah, and especially if you do... are you a Twitter person?
I'm on Twitter, but okay. I'm more Facebook than Twitter, but yeah.
But if you read Twitter, I mean, I like to just sit and read Twitter, because people are bizarre.
Yeah.
And people talk in non-realities, you know, it's...
What do you mean?
Well, like I put, she wanted to have... That's generic. You know, they, people write in such a way that it could relate to anything or anybody.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't have to say, my girlfriend wanted. She, gotcha. You know, the, gotcha. The guy was...
So you're doing more shorthand.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people misconstrue that as just taking it personal right off the bat.
Yeah. I can see that.
But if you're not aware of what's going on around Twitter, like, oh, it's just a joke. Yeah. It's just strictly a...
Yeah. And one of the things I do like about Twitter is that it is restricted to 140 characters.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, get to the point.
Right.
Get to the point. What do you have to say? Brevity is the soul of wit. Yeah. Let's get there.
I do that a lot of times. I'll write a status on Facebook and then want to go, I should put that on Twitter. And then, it's not
too yeah.
not
big. It doesn't translate. It winds up to be 14 Twitter. Or,
yeah. Because yeah, yeah. then you're going to like, well, I need to take out words. And then by the time it's like,
yeah.
I saw my first Christmas commercial. If this was a baby, it'd be so premature, it'd have to be in an incubator right now. You know, that kind of... And then you go, well, how can I make that down to 140?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I'm really going to cut the words out of
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and is it going to make any sense?
Yeah.
If this was...
Trying to get the idea across.
Born now, you're just trying to find enough letters to fix it and make it. And
yeah.
Some people just are very good at Twitter.
I mean,
when you look at their stuff, they're just like, oh, that's the right amount of words. That's
the right idea. Amount of, you got the whole thing out, and it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm jealous of that.
It's almost like haiku.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Except they got the complete idea. I'm jealous of that.
Who are some of your favorite? Do you have some people on Twitter that you follow, that you go,
yeah.
Because there's people that I don't even know and have no idea who they are.
Uh-huh.
But I go, this person's pretty funny on a regular basis.
Yeah. Or Patton Oswalt. I follow Patton Oswalt. He's probably my favorite. I like him a lot, and he's very good. He's one of those guys that's really good at Twitter. Brian Posehn's really good. A lot of comics, a lot of my comic friends, you know, are very good at Twitter. But the problem with that, like anything else, like, you know, I'll be friends with somebody who I worked with a week in Wichita, and we can really hit it off, and we're really good friends. And now they live in San Diego, and we're friends on Facebook, you know, and every week I get a post about they're playing at this club in San Diego, and I'm like, that does me no good. I know you're trying to promote yourself, buddy. I know it's a business, but I don't want to take you off my feed because I want to, you know, every once in a while
you're one of those people, aren't you? You're one of those people would like to take people off your feed. My girlfriend is like that. Like, I don't know that. What happened to, oh, I didn't know. I get tired of seeing this, you know, like.
Yeah.
Like, on Twitter, I have 13,000...
That's big.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
And she's like, how do you, you know, keep that? Why do you care? Who do you... Well, that's social media.
Yeah.
I don't have to know them.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of being the social is...
They've made the decision to follow you.
They follow me, mm-hmm. and I follow back because that's part of the, you know...
The agreement.
The agreement here, yeah. you know? And I don't always read everything. Some days I do.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes, I just delete people. If I, like, two or three of their tweets I don't like, I just, like, Well,
see, I don't delete people, but I'll take them off the news feed or whatever, you know what I mean? You know, where
you
I...
You do?
Yeah. Like, Facebook a lot. There's a lot. I don't want to unfriend anybody, but I'll take them off my news feed because I don't want to read, you know, their inane shit.
But how do you take them off the feed?
You just...
I've never seen that.
Oh, you really haven't?
No.
Oh, you could just go in and, you know, look at your relationship with somebody, and there'll be a check mark. Usually it automatically, when you're friends with somebody, it'll say show a news feed.
Uh-huh.
There's, you know, you can click on your relationship with them, and it'll show that check mark. You just take the check mark off. You're still friends with them, but their bullshit doesn't show up on your page every day.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
And I have been
5,000.
Yeah. Oh. I've got two pages. You know how...
Yeah, yeah.
I started my personal page years ago,
sure.
and then they realized you can't go over, so I started the fan page.
Right.
And so I've got like almost 4,000 on that.
Yeah.
But I don't really interact that much. I just put statuses and run. You know, like I'm not one of those that try to get in the conversations of the thread and...
No, but you told me you like to put something provocative up there. Something that's going to stir some shit, and
yeah.
then just let it go.
Right.
You don't monitor it. You don't respond to anybody. You just go, here's this thing that
yeah.
I said that's going to piss a lot of people off.
There's almost 170 responses.
Right.
And then somebody put, did you notice he's not even in the thread? Like, yep.
It's like he set fire to the page and then ran like
yeah,
hell.
Yeah. But I think people need that every once in a while.
Sure.
I think every once in a while, especially in America,
uh-huh.
you need to shake people.
I agree.
Just to make them think whether, you know, and I always put it in such a way that it's a question so they don't go, is that what he believes?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, have you guys ever thought, would this be a possibility
yeah.
if, or, you know, just...
Just to stir shit just up. To,
yeah. Yeah. Has this ever crossed your mind? What if the...
You're not asserting. You're just saying, hey, yeah. Anybody ever considered this?
Yeah.
And what's your reaction to that? Yeah. And you get 170 people with their opinions.
Right.
And they get fights with each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I posted one of the biggest ones recently was my question about just Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Was the, you know, I didn't know that about the health care. You know, you can keep your plan, you can keep your doctor.
Right.
No, you can't. Well, I didn't know that.
Right.
So I just did this whole list of, well, he didn't know about Benghazi, and he didn't know about the IRS targeting, and he didn't know about, you guys ever wonder about, is somebody keeping him out of the loop?
Mm-hmm.
Just the question. You know, I wasn't saying, I hate it. I'm just like, and just, God, just to watch the people crawl out of the woodwork about, you know, why are you attacking? I'm not. I'm posing the question. You know, we keep hearing this answer. So let's consider the fact.
Yeah.
Think of all. Is that a flat out excuse? Or if it's real, is somebody else working the strings and not telling the puppet?
Yeah.
And see, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. A lot of times I'll have an interaction like that where I'm reading somebody's put something on Facebook, somebody I barely know, you know, will put something up there. And then somebody will respond in a way that makes me question it. Okay, so like when the Sandy Hook Elementary thing happened, this guy who was in local radio, he was in the media, he'd said, you know, this has happened and here's a link to the story and this, you know, something we should be concerned with. And then one of his friends posted, well, it's all part of God's plan. And I was like, no, that's intellectually lazy. That's a little bit lazy. I would just, what do you mean by that? Can you expand on that a little bit? And I wasn't challenging him. I'm not getting on there saying there's no God or you're wrong or you know, but just like, what do you mean? I mean, how was that, you know? And he goes, well, you know what? I can't handle your atheist friends. And I barely knew this guy.
Yeah.
And this was one of his friends who got furious with him because of something I said and unfriended him. And then I see that guy. I finally met him in person and he's like, I had a bunch of people unfriend me because of this thing that you respond. I was like, I was just asking a question. He goes, I know. I didn't think there was anything bad about it, but people get really sensitive.
Yeah.
You know? On social media like that, they get really sensitive.
Yeah. I think there's a big difference between Facebook and Twitter intelligence, too.
Sure. There's a learning curve.
Because if you throw something out on Twitter,
uh-huh.
people either go, yeah, star it, like it,
mm-hmm.
or comment back or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you could put the same thing on Facebook and just be, like, attacked.
Yeah.
Just attack, like... Did you not get the joke? Did you not read this?
Right.
Did you not read the article that I attached to the comment that mm-hmm. I made?
Or did you catch the subtext of the sarcasm
yeah. that was... So you've noticed this too.
Oh, yes.
And I just think there's this whole, like, anybody with a computer can...
Oh, yeah. You know, and there's such...
Be on Facebook.
Yeah, but there's such anonymity behind it for a lot of people. You know, you say, well, I'm not looking at this person, so I can say these incredibly, you know, rude things... Because I don't have to look them in the face.
Right.
It's all online. You know, it's like, well, it's like being in your car giving somebody the finger. Like, you know, you're probably not going to get in a fight with them because you're moving at 70 miles an hour. But if you were, you wouldn't walk down the street and give somebody the finger who got in your way. You just wouldn't do that, you know?
There's guys that do that,
though. Well, I suppose they are, but they're much bigger than I am.
There's guys that walk down the street and talk to themselves.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And that was the whole thing. Man, when that whole Bluetooth thing first kicked in.
Oh, my God.
Did that freak you out, too?
Yes. Like, it looked like crazy people.
Uh-huh.
And I thought they were talking to me.
Me, too.
Yeah.
And then I felt crazy. Like, what? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were...
Yeah. You responded like, what are you doing? I don't know. I'm just sitting next to you. I'm just ordering coffee. What do you mean? What am I doing?
And they, like, wave you off.
Yeah.
No.
And they pointed their ear, and you're like, which one of us is crazy? One of us has got to be fucking crazy.
I liked when the headsets first kicked in with the earpiece and mm-hmm. the mic on the
mouth.
The mic on the wire.
Mm-hmm. The Garth Brooks thing? Oh, what do you mean?
It was the mic. Remember the mic hanging down? It was hanging on the wire?
Oh, yeah.
But they would still work if it hung, but they always wanted to hold it up next to...
Yeah, it was supposed to be hands-free, but it wasn't.
No.
Because you had to hold it up.
You
there.
Held the wire up instead of your phone.
Yeah.
So what was the point of hands-free?
There was no point. There was absolutely no point.
And now I see, like the other day, I love when people don't keep up with technology, mm-hmm. but they think they do. Like the old earpiece from like 10, 12 years ago
uh-huh.
that was just wrapped around your ear and
the was entire on the cord would come around.
Yeah, it was like a little stick, like you said, the Garth Brooks kind of little thing. Mm-hmm. Well, you'll see people now that still have that one from, like, and you're like, you're really behind in technology, aren't you?
You have a VCR, don't you? You have a VCR. You record shows on television.
Your flip phone still has that earpiece.
And the antenna.
Yeah. Do you feel bad for the flip phone people?
Yeah, but I know one of my best friends refuses to get anything other than his flip phone. He's like, no, this is all I need. I can talk. And I'm like, yeah, but you can't text. I have no need for texting. I will say that when texting first came out, I thought it was silly, right? Because I was like, why wouldn't you just pick up the phone and call? Why wouldn't you just say these things to get out of the way? But then texting is such a non-invasive way of communicating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of calling somebody and making them stop what they're doing to have a conversation with you, you just text them and just leave it there.
Yeah.
It's like laying it out there. Get back to me when you can.
And there's no small talk. The answer can be yes or no.
Or a why.
Yeah.
Or an in. Yeah.
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 Yeah, and I find that way, like, I know it annoys my girlfriend, but you can have the conversation with her or with you or whatever, and I can still watch the news.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm in the middle of something. I don't have to turn the movie off. Not that you're not more important than the movie or anything.
Sure.
You see what I'm saying?
But I do.
You can just sit there and, like, yeah, I'm on the ship watching a movie.
See,
you know what I mean? Two things can happen at one time.
I can't do that, and here's why, and this is one of the things that annoys the shit out of my wife, is that, like, I can't use abbreviations. When I send a text, it's like full-on punctuation, rules of capitalization. Like, I'm sending a letter.
Like, really?
I write out everything. I use commas.
How anal and OCD is that?
Oh, my friend, you have no idea. I'm not OCD, because people with OCD actually, like, can't leave their house or hold down a job and actually have problems. But I do have obsessions, and I do have compulsions that are very, very serious.
Really?
Yeah.
And we might get to that on the next podcast.
Boom.
Well, this has been 1 hour. Do you notice how quick that shot
went? It went by.
See?
It went by so quickly. And thank you for having me as a guest. As you may know, the world is running short of podcast guests.
It is. You cannot.
At the current rate, by the end of the decade, there will be no guests left for podcasts.
Right. And if you want me to be on yours.
Yes.
That's the only thing I noticed when I listened to a lot of podcasts, as I know you do too.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, weren't you just on? Yeah, I was on his podcast. And I'm going to be on Doug's podcast next week. And like, welcome to the podcast.
It's so
world.
Incestuous, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's on everybody's podcast.
But I kind of noticed that too when I started. Adam Carolla? I think it was Adam that had just this interact. I'm on Adams, and Adams is on Allison Rosen's, and Allison is on that, but they're sitting in it. And it was the same thing with Joe Rogan. With Joe has Joey Diaz on, and Diaz is on Felicia's, but Felicia's going to be on Rogan's, and the Death Squad has both Joe and Joey on, but the Death Squad guys are on.
And everybody had Andy Kindler.
Everybody at one point.
Everybody had Kindler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really, that's when I started getting into podcasts. And when I was doing one, for a while I was doing it was a televised for TRadioV.com.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody had their own show, like from 9 to 11, and I was 11 to 1.
Uh-huh.
And I just started doing hey, why don't you stay and be the guest on my show?
Yeah.
Or why don't you come in early and you'll be the guest and we'll just, and then it pretty much turned into everybody was on all the time. We're just, you stay, we'll do the next show. Mm-hmm. Hey, why don't both of y'all stay and be on the third show? And
gets incestuous real quickly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we will do this again. Matt, do you want to, is there a website or your Twitter? Or?
My Twitter is at mattysadler.com, MattySadler. Did I say .com? God damn, I'm a dick. At Matty Sadler. That tells you how often I'm on Twitter. At Matty Sadler. And I'm on Facebook as well. Matt Sadler. You can reach me there and enjoy me. And
No website? Actual website?
I own MattSadler.com. I just haven't done anything with it. I use it for email.
Me too. I have SteveMcGrew.com. And I have no
with
Steve
Facebook
McGrew.
And Twitter, it's not
It's not really necessary anymore. Because that's almost too much. That's old school. I did have SteveMcGrew.com. What AOL hosted my website? Did you remember that?
Yeah, that was a while back.
Yeah, and then they shut down the AOL pages and the hosting site, and I went, Screw it. I don't need, I'll just hold onto the name, and every 2 or 3 years I get that, you need to renew. All right, as long as I own the name.
Yeah, I'm and cool. I like being able to say, yeah, just email me at matt@sadler.com.
Yeah.
You know, that's easy enough to remember, but that's all I use it for.
Yeah, I have mcgrew@msn.com.
Okay.
McGrew, and that tells you how long ago.
MSN,
I was a beta tester on MSN.
Really?
I was actually one of the guys that we're working on this new, you know, would you like to, here's the disk, let us know what you think or what bugs you find.
That's old school.
Yeah. So now if you type in, I'd like to get McGrew. McGrew1653739 at, you know, that's, they've just like generated all these.
Yep.
But luckily I was... Got that first one.
Yeah.
All right, Matt. Thanks. We'll do this again. We'll see you.
Thanks for having me, Steve.